So
Okay.
we are on the border. We didn't know what every minute gonna bring us. Or dead, or alive, or whatever. And those three what I mentioned went back. They disappeared. I didn't see them anymore.
And neither of them survived.
No. I don't remember which day, I think it was after 8 or 9 days being there in that natural zone, somehow, which this was a common thing in that area, a big hurricane. Hurricane, rain, thunders, trees were flying. You know, we were in between woods. And somehow, I didn't know where I am, I didn't see any people, and there's nowhere to hide. And I hear from people that you were yelling, and some said to the Mizrech, Mizrech means to east. We're running to the east. And everybody was screaming and yelling. I lost my neighbors, my from Visegrad. I didn't see nobody. Just I saw trees flying. And we run and we run and we run. Today I couldn't run that way with my heart, you know. But that day I was running and running and running. And we didn't see nothing till I saw a house. And when we saw that house, I got in. Imagine a Jewish farmer from White Russia. You ever saw Fiddler on the Roof? That kind of guy he was.
This is Belarus?
Belarus, yeah. So we didn't know, I didn't know where I am. But I know I'm out of the neutral zone. But people were yelling, Mizrech, Mizrech, East, East. And we were running. And we got
there. But you didn't stop to that house?
No, we can't, we couldn't, in the middle of the field. There's no place. We didn't see a house.
No, but you said there was a Jew farmer.
That Jew farmer. We got in there.
In the house?
In the house.
Okay, so that's after running.
Yeah. And when we got in, I realized, I asked the people, we 3 kilometers in the Soviet Union. So everybody was breathing easy. And the owner was here, a Jew, with a beard, like Toby, I'm telling you. And in the, everybody lie down the floor, he had straw, he spread straw. And you know, he didn't even ask for money, but everybody gave him. You know who was with us that time? Shladov, Vovchi Shladov. You ever heard of him? He lives in Australia. He was like the leader from our group.
What is his name again? Shladov?
Shladov. Shladov. Vovchi Shladov. He lives in
Vovchi?
Vovchi. Or the Wolf. You could say Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, Wolf is good.
So you went to Australia after the war?
After the war, yeah.
Okay.
From Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were in that Jewish man's house. I don't remember if he boiled potatoes or something. I don't remember. This is not important. He said, we'll not go. It was already afternoon. In the morning, he gave us like instructions. In the morning, he takes his horse in a wagon and goes in the field to work. So he says, you put all of you, everybody had a sack, you know, not suitcases, but whatever somebody had, put in the wagon, hold on to the wagon, and we're going to work in the morning. And I'll take you as far as I can. And you're going to go straight east, 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 and they're going to be at a town, Chishiv. I heard about that town. Chishiv was a town where a lot of Zionists went there for
Chishiv.
Chishiv. And everybody gave him, I don't remember how much, whatever we could, we gave him. He was very happy. And he said, you go straight this way, you're already deep in. Mm-hmm. And we were on the very close to Chishiv.
Okay.
And if somebody, a Russian soldier, asked you, say, you're going to Chishiv, you have the family there, and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, you are, we were already away from the border.
Mm-hmm.
And we came into Chishiv.
Okay.
So
this was in the morning.
Yeah, after like lunchtime,
overnight.
Close to lunch. Yeah, in the morning we had to get in the field. We're going to work in the field, but nobody stopped us. We were lucky. Very far we saw there, but nobody bothered. We come to Chishiv. I start asking that Jejits my money, because wherever we went, we had to pay. I had to pay for him. So he said, I have to go to a shoemaker to take off the, you know, so I said, let's go to a shoemaker. So I start bothering, I see that he's...
resistant.
Yeah, so he start yelling at me, you know, that I bother him too much. Anyway, I stop bothering, of course, it doesn't work. So in Chishiv is a train which goes to Bialystok. And we all pushed in that train that you couldn't drop a pin on the floor.
How far was it from Bialystok, Chishiv?
I couldn't tell. A few hours ride. I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. I don't know. But who cares?
Well, I want to look on the map to see
so
how
you
far.
Could see. But I couldn't remember.
This is small map. Maybe it's better in the book.
What you could do this lady, no?
What?
The looking here?
Yeah.
I was like jealous. They have a home where to go to
Even
sleep.
Though they were living very primitively.
Well, they lived Chishiv. I don't
It was
think
not that primitive.
It wasn't worse than Visegrad.
That's true.
You understand? But they had a home, mm-hmm. a bed, a room.
And you envied them.
And I was homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I felt so
envious.
Yeah. Then I came to Bialystok, it's a big city. And all of Visegrad came to one family, which they used to be from Visegrad,
mm-hmm.
Bluestein.
So in Bialystok?
Yeah. All of Visegrad came to that family. Bluestein, he was a Bialystok you know Henik Levine?
Henik? Levine? I know Levine, but Henik?
No, okay.
How many Visegrad were with them?
Well, oh my God, I don't know. Everybody who came from Visegrad made their stop.
But when you were there, how many Vishagruder were there?
I don't know. They all couldn't sleep there. Who was the closest to them, like a little relative, like Angelevin, Shladov slept there. But they provided, they went to friends. One night I slept there, but the rest of the night they gave me a relative.
Ah, here I have some cities between Warsaw and Bialystok. There is Vyshkov, Ostro-Mazowiecki,
yeah,
and Wysoki Mazowiecki. No.
This is Estes area from where she come, Vyshkov.
Uh-huh.
This is not Vyshkov, her town is Ruzhan.
Okay. Yeah, other than that, on the train, there is a city called Votomin.
No, I don't know.
No, and then it's not enough detail there. Ah!
You got it?
No. Okay, I think that I will find some other maps that are closer. Ah, Poland, that's it. Warsaw, Maklinia.
Malkin, yeah, this I know.
Chizhev.
Is
that it?
Yeah.
Chizhev,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Malkin,
Chizhev. And Tapi.
Tapi, I don't know, but Chizhev I know. Do you see Bialystok already?
No, Bialystok is further there.
Okay. But Malkin is was the Borgia. Yeah. I know where Malkin was.
And this is Bug.
The Bug, yeah. That's river. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Malkin, I remember.
Okay, so this is page 175. So that would be useful.
Now you've got to find Bialystok too.
No, Bialystok I have already found, but in different maps. Hungary, Belgium, Berlin, Bohemia, Prague, Japan. No, okay. Let's continue. Okay, so you are in Bialystok at the Bluestein family.
Bluestein.
Blue.
BLU.
Yeah, Bluestein family. Okay. And how long did you stay there?
With them I slept one night, but he provided me with a relative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, just to have an idea of what was involved. Since you have to pay and pay and pay for almost everything you try to get, how did you get enough money to always have enough left?
Well, I took from home a nice bundle of money.
In what? In zloty?
Zlotys.
So it was all in Polish money?
It was still good, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And how did you decide how much to give?
I didn't decide. The group decided. For everything was a price.
Okay.
You understand? I had a few hundred zlotys, and those paying was, let's say, for the boat, 2 zlotys.
Okay.
For the truck, 20 zlotys.
20 zlotys?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Was a lot. And everything I paid, I don't remember, he owed me maybe 50 zlotys, that judges. So finally, he didn't give me that in Chizhev. He comes in Bialystok. I ask him again. So now we're in Bialystok already a few days. How about my money? You have shoemakers plenty here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said to me? If you're going to bother me more, I'm going to go to the NKVD, you know, and the KGB, and tell them who you are. You know what that means?
Yes.
What means that?
That you are a traitor and...
No. That I'm from a rich family. That you were from land owner.
That is Simcha told you that.
That's right. So,
and you trusted him?
Well, I didn't know he was going to mention those words, so I went over to Wovche Shladov, to that guy, in Itche Kaysman. You ever heard of Kaysman? He lived here in New York. And I told him what happened. They didn't know nothing about. And I told him in Bluestein's house. He wasn't there, that Simcha Jejic. I told him, and then he threatened me that he going to tell. And if he would go to the KGB and tell that I was a landowner, I would be in trouble.
Sure.
There's no question. But he didn't do it. And when they heard, they all were surprised. And they talked to him. So he confessed that he doesn't have any money. So they said, how can you get go out from Warsaw without any money? He's not anymore home. He's not anymore the Gmach from home.
That's right.
He's now a refugee like everybody else. He has a few zlotys, so he has to survive.
Yeah.
So you know what they did? All of Visegrad collect, and they gave me back the few dollars.
They gave you them.
I'll never forget this.
Very good.
Matter of fact, you don't believe that I'm saying, but this is true, that Simcha Jejic is not alive. Shladov probably is alive in Australia. Kaysman is not alive anymore, and Jejic is not alive. I met in street Simcha Jejic in Lodz.
After the war?
Yeah. And when I saw him, I said, I will not talk. It's over. The game is over. The war is over. Nobody's alive. Well, but I had in mind what he did to me in those years. This was 60s after. Misha, the way I'm telling you is 100% the truth. He in the street, I remember the street, Anaratovicha, he comes over and grabs me, kisses me, and he said, he apologized. He remembered. He said, I didn't have any money, and he thanked me that I...
But why couldn't he tell you that he didn't have any money before?
I didn't say a word. To me, it's like this. I could slap you if I could help myself, but it's over.
Okay.
He was married, he had a kid, he lived in Valjik, not far from Richbach. And I didn't, so then I heard when I was in Paris that he died there. But I didn't wish him any day. He was a Jew, maybe a crooked Jew, but it's okay. Misha, it was a war, you know.
Yeah, there's...
I writing this off from the war, I went through... More things.
More trauma.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were, after the Bluestein family, you were at another family.
Yeah, right one block away.
Okay. So how long did you stay there?
I don't remember, maybe a week. I registered myself to immigrate to the Soviet Union, to the free... So they create those trains, and they sent, this is voluntarily, not arrested, naturally, and took people, whoever was registered, in those cattle trains, and we were singing and dancing and happy that we gone to the Soviet Union. So they let us, me off, not far in White Russia, not far from the border.
So it was a short Right.
Yeah, but the train went farther.
Mm-hmm.
Each stop, they let down a few.
Mm-hmm.
And they called names. If I didn't want to, I wouldn't go, but I figured, what the heck.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember the name of the town that you dropped at?
Why not? Stolce? No, this is a very, it was
small.
Just a station.
Okay.
But from that...
not Smolensk.
Huh?
Not Smolensk.
No. Smolensk is big.
Yeah.
Near Minsk.
Near Minsk.
You see a town, Chervin? Near Minsk.
Novogrudok.
No, Novogrodek.
Novogrodek. Dzierzhinsk.
No, Dzierzhinsk.
Dzierzhinsk.
Yeah.
Chervin.
Chervin, you got it.
That's where?
I was there, I met Este.
Okay.
Chervin. You got it?
Yes.
Okay.
They spell it in a strange way.
You see there are...
Chervin. Mm-hmm.
Do you see near Chervin a smaller town, Puchovich?
No, that's too small.
Small. It's just a railroad station.
There is, not far from there, there's Slutsk.
No.
Bychov.
No.
And
if you don't see Puchovich, forget it.
No.
They let us down in Puchovich.
In Puchovich.
Mi Puchovice. They let us down, Estes family.
It's close to Minsk.
Yes. Close to Chervin. You see Chervin?
Yeah, the Chervin.
Chervin is closer.
Yeah,
so this
is
that Puchovich was so small, and there was a tailor shop which they made aprons.
Mm-hmm.
One aprons, you know, mostly women were working there.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this, the way I start the Soviet Union life. So when they brought us to that Puchovich, they took us in like in the city hall.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the secretary of the party.
How many people got off the train when you got to
Puchovich? I don't remember.
A lot or a little?
No. But it was very small. I remember Visegrad, Yossel Kona, Barbe, Weizmann. It's not important.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very small town. So they took us to that called city hall, you know, like a barrack. And the manager, the mayor from the city hall, called the secretary of the party,
mm-hmm.
the secretary of the party. I remember his name,
mm-hmm.
Because it's a famous name, Kaganovich.
Mm-hmm.
And that Kaganovich sent, Shmuel Prusak was there, Visegrad, and that Kaganovich...
What, he was the secretary?
The secretary... The Communist Party in Puchovich,
uh-huh.
Which I remember things, I can't forget such things. He mobilized the whole village, those Russian people, Jewish, those men there, and sent us refugees to the families who lived there,
mm-hmm.
you know, to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody took in. Or a single person, or a family, like
mm-hmm.
Esther was with the family, they sent them also to a little cabin or some house, also to a family, was the mother,
mm-hmm.
mother, and five people, two brothers and three sisters, Esther and two little sisters. There were five people.
Mm-hmm. So you were put in the same house?
No. So what I want to say, that Mr. Kaganovich, Comrade Kaganovich, sent everybody to a different family.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, in that city hall, so-called, were couches standing,
mm-hmm.
chairs, and all of those refugees were there. And each time he sent somebody else to a different house. I fall asleep. Was comfortable, I fall asleep. And I'm sleeping. There's already midnight. This is me, you must listen. Somebody wakes me, and I was tired from the trip, and they're sitting there. Somebody wakes me, this is Mr. Kaganovich, says to me, "Kum." You know what I mean?
Come.
Kum. They spoke with that Lithuanian, Russian accent. He said to me, "Kum." And I take my thing, package, and I follow him. He don't walk. It was maybe a block away. He with the, had a carriage, and he take me that, and drives in his house. He lived nice, and he had a wife and a little girl. They were sleeping in the oven. They had,
I slept also in the.
You know what I'm talking about?
Not in that that house, but in the izba.
I understand. I know. So the he opened the door, he put in the horse there, and the wife climbs down from the, at the oven, and pulls out from the oven a dish with food. This was the middle of the night, and I needed that food. She couldn't speak even Jewish. She spoke a little Jewish.
She was Russian?
Jewish.
She was Jewish, but couldn't speak Yiddish.
No, no. She was Jewish. So, I ate. He takes me in a room, and he shows me pictures of two sons and the bicycles from the sons hanging on the wall. Nice, clean, not the real, you know, Russian worker. He was the secretary at the party from that town, that village. And he says, "My sons."
In the army.
Not just in the army. They were in the Finland and Finnish
on the
front. There was war going on with Finland there.
Of course.
You understand? In those years, the Germans were behind already that time, the Finland. And they were there, and every day you heard, like you hear now from Iraq, not one get killed. And he gives me a room, a pajama, and a clean bed, and so I shouldn't wake up too early. You know, I have to go to work tomorrow. Listen to this. I said, "Where am I?" I thought everybody had such a treatment. No, only I had that treatment. Because he was, not me, because it was he. Tomorrow morning I wake up, the woman waits for me there in the kitchen and, you know, and pulls out, everything is done in the oven. No kitchen, no, no kitchen. Pulls out this, and serves me a breakfast. Mamma mia. I ate, I got dressed, and he is standing new, the valenki. You know what means valenki? Those boots for the winter. It's not leather.
Oh, okay, they are in wool?
Yeah, that, you know, how do you call it in English? I don't know. Valenki, voilok in Russian, Polish. Anyway, in... there are is a bundle of laundry for me, new. this a lot of people got it from the refugees, you know.
That's
but
nice.
I had everything double because everything was there. Whatever they gave the refugees was there. So I eat, and then I want to go out. And she says, "No, the husband will come and pick you up." He comes in, picks me up, and takes me in. There was the whole, what do you call, industry. There was factories where they do
factory.
Factories they're doing
clothes,
sewing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mostly what do you call
aprons.
Yeah, and they changed sometimes something else.
Mm-hmm.
In those Russian, mostly women, because men were
sure.
all mobilized, sure. mobilized already. This was, you know, oh, and they looked, you know, European. They called us the Western people, better. And I met their Esther's uncle who lived here in Brooklyn. He was a real good tailor. No, he could be my father, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked around, and there were, then I found out making the factory where they're making those military uniforms too, and he was excellent for that. So, and he says to me, I said to him, "Bay, I'm going to go to work." He said, "I shouldn't rush to work. You stay here." You know what he said to me? "My sons are in the army." I swear what he said to me. "I don't know what's going on there on the front. If they don't come back, you are my son. I swear to you, Misha. You hear me? I should not go yet to work. I should be home and rest. But I want to go to work." I go to the ring and I sit in a machine. I do something a little bit. And he said, "Go home. I don't need it." That's it. It didn't took too long, maybe 1 week. Some order came from the other town, Chervin.
Mm-hmm.
Everything there goes through orders from the party that they need their tailors.
Mm-hmm.
So if they need their, and it comes an order from the Secretary of the State, that Kaganovich has nothing to say. You understand? If somebody comes with an order with higher authorities, so he comes in all of those tailors, Esther's uncle in the
mm-hmm.
Prusa from Visegrad.
What was her family name, Esther's?
Plotka.
Okay. How many of member of the family was there?
To two brothers and three sisters, to the mother.
So there were three sisters, two brothers,
yeah.
There were five.
And the mother.
And the father?
The father got shot in their hometown in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
But right at the beginning of the war.
Do you remember the name of their hometown?
Ruzhan. Ruzhan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ruzhan was close to the border with Russia?
To Germany.
Or to Germany. Was
the west.
In the west side of
yeah.
Poland.
Narew. There's a not Narwion, they call it, Ruzhan nad Narwion.
Mm-hmm.
That Narew went into the Bug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, they were in another family.
They lived in another,
yeah.
But they all, everybody, whoever went registered to go to Chervin,
mm-hmm.
they transported them to Chervin. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because that Puchovich was a really, really small village. There is
mm-hmm.
nothing there, just the railroad station.
And why did they go to Chervin? Because Chervin needed some tailors?
Tailors, you know.
Okay. But they send also the women and children the same
yes,
way.
Yes, they didn't took only the men, the families, they didn't separate, no.
Okay. So you were sent to Chervin also?
I you know, I could make up my mind.
Whether to stay or not.
I was so good. And that Mr. Kaganovich, he said to me, "Varum, why I'm rushing too.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, I said I want to go because I don't want to be separated from these families.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, if you don't like it, you come back.
Mm-hmm.
You have a home, he said. But I said, I want to go and see. So mm-hmm. I went in the truck, and it was already good cold snow, I think, was already.
Mm-hmm.
And it took, I don't know how long, we arrived to that town. And you know that man, Kaganovich, came to Chervin to look for me?
Hmm.
And that time, I worked already in a tailor shop.
So you started working in a tailor shop?
Yes.
Did you know tailoring before?
Well, this was not in Russia. Tailor shop don't mean you have to be a tailor. Yeah, in certain tailor shop, you have to be a real tailor. But they put me in a tailor shop where they did, today they did gloves, working gloves. Next day they made bras.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
for women, bras. And I made the first bra, so one came out small and one bigger. Because, you know, you have to know, you have to have the finger for that. It's a different,
yes.
You know, it's not. But there was sitting women and men, they knew and they did it good. And there was a guy, he was like a salesman, and he put on and said, so he said, it will be sold in Minsk. Nobody will know the difference. You know what he said? Every morning in the park, they sweep the brass because the couples are sitting there. And you know what I mean? They're sweeping those brass, so don't worry about it. It was, you know.
So gloves, brass, anything else?
Brass, some apron, whatever they gave us to do. You know, it was, and there.
So how long did you stay there?
Well, now comes a different episode, a different thing. When I worked there,
mm-hmm.
I sent home some kind of letters to Visegrad. Somehow, they received it. They had my address. I didn't know that Yita came to Bialystok.
Mm-hmm.
Yita calls me from Bialystok.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They called over there, we didn't have phones, but the post office came to the house and called me that 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to have a call. I should be at the telephone. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from Bialystok. And I didn't even know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
So all the families from the house where I lived, I remember Esther's uncle from Brooklyn, the whole family, they were up waiting for me to come back. The post office was across the street. And I went down to the post office in a booth, you know, and the telephone rings and they call me, that's for me. And this was Yita.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me that she had a letter from mother from Visegrad that we all should come home, that everything is good and it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, I still was sticking to my mind. I said, Yita, I work.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not...
Yeah, almost free.
I'm free. I'm free. I go to the movies, I work, and I eat, and I have where to sleep. I'm not afraid of nobody, and we treat it well. So she called me Guvnyash. You know what that means?
Yes.
How do you know?
Ah, Guvnyash is a very common...
Yeah, but it's a Polish expression.
Yeah.
That word that she called me. So I said, if mother said to come home, we should come home. And we registered you already to go home. Because in that time, when I'm in Bialystok or in Lvov, in all of the big cities, registrations who wants to go home back to the West, I mean, to the Germans. So I, as a young boy, have to listen to a mother and an older sister, and called me Guvnyash. And I didn't say much yet to the families who I knew. I told them so, that I'm going to go back. But at work, I was afraid to tell.
Sure.
And I was afraid they could stop me from going, whatever.
Yep.
It was, I wasn't under arrest, but...
No, you may become suspicious, because as a Jew, if you want to go back to the German, maybe...
Well, I could
traitor.
Say to Bialystok, but I made it in a secret. I packed my belongings. And there was no... from there, in Chervin, was no train. And I had to go to Minsk. And there was no regular transportation, like a bus or whatever, you know, a train, no. So there was a cafe, like a restaurant. And I knew that there, I used to eat there. And they're stopping trucks.
Okay.
Which going to Minsk. And this was in end of March or April, I think, cold. This is the middle of winter. I'm standing in that restaurant, and that truck is there, and I asked, where are you going? He said, to Minsk. I said, you'll take me? He said, yes, but you have to sit on the back, on the top. And he had a full truck with wood. Meter, wood, full. I have to sit on top of this, and I had to pay him something, whatever the rubles.
So you had rubles and zlotys?
No, zlotys was finished.
Okay.
Zlotys I finished in Bialystok.
So how did you get the rubles?
Well, I worked.
Oh, yes, you were working.
I worked in the factory. I forgot Bialystok already. I don't know how long it passed by, I tell you. From, let's say, October or November, this was already March. You understand?
Yeah.
I became already a regular citizen in that Chervin.
So, March 1940.
Yes. I sit in that truck, and I come to Minsk, and somehow, I don't know from where, from what, I found Bilgarai's address, the oldest, Velvo, the oldest. There were four brothers in the Bilgarai family, and a sister. The sister was the oldest, but this was the oldest from the sons. Velvo, a dear, a good man. Oh, that Velvo, took the bicycle to look for your grandfather when my father was dying. Now you got it?
Yes.
See?
Bilgarai.
Yeah. You see? And I found him, and he didn't have his apartment. He went out in Visegrad with a young lady, Hudis Baum, and this, or they got married or not, they stayed in Minsk. In a with an old woman there from Minsk, a Jewish woman. When I found him,
Velvo?
very well mm-hmm. with her. They worked already, you know, everybody got established and they worked already, but they didn't have their own apartment. I didn't know even they're there. I don't remember how I found out, you know, everything is a miracle. And I said to him that so-and-so, I'm going to go back. So from Minsk, you see, here is Minsk,
mm-hmm.
here is Bialystok, listen. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't go a train straight to Bialystok. There was, but it was not allowed to go here. Somehow you need a
special.
So I was here, I had to go here to Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about Kiev?
Yes, of course. That's Ukraine.
So from
Minsk,
I went to Kiev. The train came from Leningrad with 34 hours delay. And you should see that train. There were people were hanging in the doors and the roof all over. I got inside and I sneaked in anyway. So I went to Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kiev, supposed to be a train to Bialystok in 2 days. That's how it works. So we're laying in Kiev on the station. We're laying there, mm-hmm. and, you know, I got dirty. I got full of, you know what?
Lice.
How do you know? You were there?
You told me the stories.
Right.
Okay.
And I sold them with the lice.
Yeah. So
I sold them.
Slept 2 days in station.
And I remember I was there 2 days in Kiev. I took a street car.
Lice.
Full.
Cells.
With the rice.
Anyway, his underwear, is that it?
Well, that underwear we made in our factory
mm-hmm.
in Chervin. We made it. It was like a tricot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I went to visit, not visit, just took a street train, you know, a tram, and mm-hmm. all over Kiev. It was a beautiful city. And in Kiev, you could go in a store and buy food. In Minsk, this wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Kiev, Ukraine had more food.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I arrived to Bialystok. In all of Visegrad there, with the Bozanova, you remember being in Lederman?
Yeah. But wait a minute, they were in Kiev?
No, in Bialystok.
Oh, so
I said
you
when
took
I arrived
train.
In Bialystok. Okay. Yeah. And I want to tell you something, Misha.
Yes?
All the way, when I left Chervin,
mm-hmm.
going to Bialystok, I felt very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
What means depressed? I did things not knowing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Against my will.
So you didn't know where you were going?
No. I know that we're going back to Visegrad for mother. And everything's going to be okay. That's what it's supposed to be.
So who did you meet? So you said you were a bit depressed.
Depressed all the way mm-hmm. to Bialystok. When I came to Bialystok, all of Visegrad and Bozanova, including Vidim Ledovan, he was the leader there. And he was the guy working, you know, Vidim all over, he sneaked in where they were registering people go back to
mm-hmm.
The Germans.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a favor to Yita, registered me. I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And that Binim Lederman, I remember I met him, he was joking and he was, you know, like I owe him something for that favor that he registered me. And we're sitting there in Bialystok. You know, Yita was married to that Baumgarten.
Mm-hmm.
You know him?
I've heard the name.
you know, and everything was.
Sita was married already.
Yeah, to Jonas Baumgarten, and he still lives, I think, if he's still alive, in Baltimore.
So.
I have to stand up, you know why? PPE. I get here at this thing. Yeah, it's a... You need to lie down? No, standing.
Okay.
You see, the sitting, I explained this to the doctor Tuesday, and he said it's muscle.
Okay.
I say, Misha, it's not the heart. I can't feel it. Heart would put me down.
Okay.
You see, I'm standing up.
Yeah.
I'm okay to bed.
So you need to walk a little bit.
This is your glass?
Yes.
What do you want?
Anything cold.
Ice? Maybe I should put in ice. I don't have any, but...
What? Hold on a minute.